And it was in this text, and I want you to stay with me this morning, because and give me, if you allow me, I want to lay a foundation, and hopefully and prayerfully the Lord will allow us to be able to build on it, and stay with me, because I, like I said, I do promise we are going somewhere, and it's going to take me just a minute to get there. But in John chapter number 11, I'm sure you're familiar with what the text is dealing with, that of the death of Lazarus, the resurrection of Lazarus. But I want to look in verse number 1 this morning of John chapter number 11. And we'll read verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." You notice there in verse 2, it's letting you know this just ain't any Mary. This is not just some ordinary Mary. But if this is that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Verse 3, "Therefore His sisters sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick." Who's sick in the text? Lazarus is. They're sending out a message to Jesus. They're sending out a messenger to Jesus to give Him a letter, so to speak. And this is how they title it, or this is how they give. They don't tell them that it's Lazarus, but this is what they say, Brother Donnie. They say the one whom is sick is none other than the one in whom Thou lovest. Goes on in verse 4. When Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when He had heard therefore that He was sick, listen to what it says. He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Be honest, reading that text, I'd almost think when I would read it that as soon as Jesus hears about it, as soon as the word comes to Jesus, He loves Martha, He loves Mary, He definitely loves Lazarus. You would think that Jesus would drop everything He's doing, stop what He's doing right then, and make a beeline trail towards Bethany and heal Lazarus. But the Bible said this, that He stayed 2 days where He was at. Look on verse 7, "Then after that, saith He to His disciples, Let us go into Judea again. And His disciples say unto Him, Master, the Jews lay sought to stone Thee, and goest Thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? And if a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said He, and after that He saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said His disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that He had spoken of the thing of taking rest in his sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly." Jesus ain't beating around the bush. Jesus don't want there to be no doubt about it of what He's fixing to say. He don't want there to be any question marks. He is about to put an exclamation mark. He is about to dot it with a dot. He is fixing to let them know. And the Bible says He speaks to them plainly. You ever had God speak to you plainly? Or maybe I should say it like this. Have you ever had your mama speak plainly to you? Have you ever had your daddy speak plainly to you? He wasn't beating around the bush. He didn't want there to be no question about it. He was about to get your attention. And after He was done speaking, after she was done speaking, you knew exactly what they meant. The Bible said Jesus speaks plainly to them. Look down with me in verse, we go on in verse 14. He said, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." He ain't sleeping. He ain't called a time out. He ain't getting him a little quick little nap. I want you to know Lazarus is dead. And this is what caught my attention in verse number 15. I couldn't get past this. And verse 15 says, "And I am glad." Glad? Lazarus is dead. Glad? The one in whom thou lovest is dead. Mary ain't glad about it. Martha ain't glad about it. Those around them ain't glad about it. This is what Jesus says. He plainly speaks and says, look, he's dead. Now I'm glad. Why is he glad? For your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. As I was driving down the road, the Lord began to preach this message to me. This is what verse 14 and 15 is what caught my attention that I could not get past. Because this is what Jesus is telling them. He's glad about it. He ain't upset about it. He ain't moping about it. He's glad about it. Now I put myself in, when I read the text, I often try to put myself in those around Jesus' shoes and try to put myself there in the story and picture how I would have felt as I am hearing this and as I am seeing this, and no doubt how they were feeling this. I put myself there and try to sense how they sense and see it how they see it and feel it how they feel it. You know, as I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but think about, no doubt, the devil's on Mary and Martha's shoulders. That's just how he works, right? And you know, Mary and Martha, they send a letter out to Jesus and they say, look, it's whom thou lovest. This ain't just anybody. This ain't just some average Joe. But Lord, we want you to know that Lazarus is sick and Lazarus is dying. And he's the one in whom thou lovest. This is what it says. Jesus stayed still where he was for 2 days. We often sing the song, and rightfully so, that even when he is 4 days late, he's still on time. And I say thank God that he is. But when I got looking at this and thinking about this, no doubt the devil got on Mary and Martha's shoulders. And now the Bible says that Lazarus ain't going to die. Lazarus already died. And when Jesus shows up at the grave, we find he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus will go on to let us know, or they'll tell Jesus, by this time he stinketh. By this time his body has already started to decompose. By this time there is a stench about him. By this time all hope is gone. By this time everything's passed by. He ain't going to die. He ain't about to die. Lazarus is dead. This is what Jesus says. I'm glad. I'm glad. No doubt the devil got on Mary and Martha's shoulders. And I thought about this. I thought the devil getting on Mary and Martha's shoulder, he probably whispered in their ears, the reason why Jesus ain't here is because he don't care. The reason why Jesus ain't here is simply because he does not care. And can I remind you this morning, the devil is a flat, loud, and low-down liar. Amen? Because nobody's ever cared for me like Jesus has cared for you and for me. If Jesus wasn't there, listen to me, because he didn't care about Lazarus, Jesus wasn't there because he didn't care about Mary, Jesus wasn't there because he didn't care about Martha. But friend, Jesus really did love Lazarus. Jesus really did love Mary, and Jesus really did love Martha. Jesus cares. But you ever had the devil get on your shoulder and tell you the reason why you're going through what you're going through is because Jesus don't care about you? You ever had him get on your shoulder and tell you that the reason why you're going through what you're going through is because you know that Jesus don't care about you? I mean, if he cared about you, surely he wouldn't let you go through what you're going through or have gone through what you've gone through. He'll get on your shoulder and he'll tell you he don't love you like he does so and so. He don't love you like he does them. He don't care about you. I mean, he treats you like you're just nobody and he don't love you. Has anybody ever had the devil get on their shoulder and tell them that? I know I have. If he cared about you, then why ain't he there? If he cares about you, then why ain't he done fixing? If he cares about you like he says he cares about you, then why are you going through what you're going through? Thought about the devil getting on the shoulder saying, you know, Jesus don't care. I thought about Satan getting on the shoulders probably saying he don't only care. Maybe he said this. He cannot bear it. other words, when I say the word bear, I'm speaking of the fact, maybe he's saying, Jesus isn't coming because, just to be honest with you, he can't fix it. Minimizing Jesus and minimizing his ministry and saying that he's lost his power and saying he was able to do it in the past, but he's not able to do it right now. And at one time he was God, at one time he was able to do it, one time he was able to heal, one time he was able to fix it, one time he was able to solve it, but he can't do it no more. Maybe the devil got on their shoulder and said something like this. He's ashamed, and that's the reason why he's hiding, because he can't fix it. He don't want to fix it, but he can't fix it, and your problem's just out of his control, and God can't do it, and God just is not able to do it. You ever had the devil get on your shoulder and get in, whisper in your ear and tell you that God just can't fix your problems? Is anybody hearing me this morning? Has anybody ever had the devil get on your problems and say, if he could fix it, then why hadn't he fixed it?
Yeah, right.
I mean, if he could heal it, then why hasn't he healed it? If he could do it, then why hasn't he done it? If you could save him, then why haven't you done it? If you could provide for your needs, then why haven't you done it? If you could, then why hasn't he? There's been some times in my life where I've had the devil get on my shoulder and whisper in my ear and plainly say, if he could do it, then why hadn't he done it? And I wish I could tell you that my faith, I was bulletproof. I wish I could tell you that there's never been a time where I've ever questioned God that that would be a lie, because there's been some times in my life that I've allowed those voices to get my attention. I've allowed those voices to rule over my life and say, you know what? Maybe he doesn't care. You know what? Maybe he don't have the ability. Maybe you've never been there, but it was already said, you better buckle up, because there'll be a day when the sun's not shining, there'll be a day when the birds ain't chirping, and you'll find yourself on your knees and say, oh God, do you still care? And God, can you bear the problems that I'm facing? Imagine what Mary and Martha's thinking. I mean, I know I'm using my imagination, and y'all stay with me, but they say maybe the devil's on their shoulder, because I don't know what he was whispering to them. I know he whispers to them. He don't care. He can't fix it. You're wasting your time praying. He used to move in days gone by, but things are just too dark. Things are just too bad. You're wasting your time. He's about to come back. He's done working. It's all over with. Today is first spin. He's about to be in hell. It's all over with. And everything, let me just say this. It's about to be over with. And I understand that. But I've got good news. We're still here this morning because we're still serving God that's still able to work. He's still a God that does care. And He's still a God that can fix the problems that we're facing. But that don't stop us from hearing those voices saying, can't do it. Why pray? Why? You know what? I thought about he doesn't care. That was a lie, because we know Jesus does care. I thought about he cannot bear. That's a lie, because Jesus can bear it. Simon Peter would go on to tell us to cast all our care upon Him, for He cares for us. I think about in Isaiah, the Bible said the government shall be upon His shoulder. It didn't say shoulders, it said shoulder. That means on one shoulder, God's able to hold up the whole government on one shoulder. But He's got another shoulder that I firmly believe. On that shoulder, He's able to carry our burdens. On that shoulder, He's able to bear our problems and our sorrows. But listen to me, well, that doesn't resent it, or don't stop the times in our life where we scratch our head and question God and say, are you still able to bear my problems? You know what? He's able. He can. Why hasn't He? I got thinking about it. You know, listen to what 15 says. I'm almost where I want to get to. Just stay with me. He says, plainly says, verse 14, Lazarus is dead. Don't get no plainer than that. Listen, he ain't beating around the bush. He ain't saying he's about to give up the ghost. He ain't saying that he's breathing his last breath. No. He plainly looks at him and says, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, this is what he says. And I'm glad for your sakes. And this is the part that caught my attention. That I was not there. You know, Satan was lying if he told them Jesus don't care. That was a lie. Because Jesus does care. It was a lie if Satan got on their shoulders and said Jesus can't bear. That's a lie. But you want to know something? That if Satan did say that it was not a lie, if Satan got on their shoulders and said this, you ain't here. You know, Satan's real good at lying.
Yeah.
Every now and again, he'll tell you the truth.
Yeah, right.
Don't he realize in the text Jesus wasn't there? I mean, don't realize that this way. He's not the way he's going. Don't you realize Jesus wasn't there? Jesus is not at the grave at last at this point. Jesus is not with Mary and Martha at this point. Jesus is still where he's at 2 days still. Jesus is not there. I couldn't help but think this is what Jesus said. There's no reason why I'm glad. It's because I wasn't there. I think I ain't going to help you, but when I read that, I can't sense but think, my goodness, what harshness. I mean, I know the Lord is tender. I know the Lord is meek and lowly. I know the Lord is holy. I know He cares. I know He's able to bear. But that don't stop the reality of the fact He ain't there. Now understand, in Jesus' earthly ministry, He was 100% man. Still 100% God. Listen, He never laid aside His deity. He was 100% God, but at the same time, He was 100% man. Now you say, try to explain that. I can't explain that. I just know He's the God man. 100% man, but 100% God. He was 100% man, a day hurt, but He's 100% God that He's able to solve our problems. He was 100% man, day hunger, but He's 100% God that He can look at them and say, if any man's hungry, let him come unto me. For I am the bread of life. He was 100% man. But the Bible said that he was restless and he sat down at the well. But he was 100% God. But when that woman came to that well that day, he said she told me everything whatsoever I did. And on that day she got saved. See, he's 100% man, but he's also 100% God.
Amen.
See, he's God man. And in his earthly ministry, he was not able to be everywhere all at the same time because he was 100% man.
Right.
So you know where he's at in the text? He ain't there. I couldn't help but think in my mind. There's been some times in my life. Hear me out. Don't throw stones at me. Ready for this? There's been some times in my life where it felt like he wasn't there.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, you ready for this? I know doctrinally speaking. Me and you talk about just a few minutes before service. He lives within us. He's seated within us. He's indwelt us with the Spirit of God. Thank God in this day of grace, He lives within the child of God. And if you have not the Spirit, Paul said in the book of Romans, then you're none of His. Every child of God, this one ain't trying to get the Spirit, but every child of God has got the Spirit of God, a seal with inside of Him. The day I got saved, the Holy Ghost of God, I took up a throne in my heart. And thank God, whithersoever I go, He said He'd never leave me, nor forsake me. And that's 100% true.
That's true.
And anybody this morning, bear record with me and say, if he's really there, he has a weird way of showing it. I got to thinking about times when we question, is God there? I got thinking about it, and I wrote this down this morning. I thought about it. You know what? We question, God, are you really there when our prayers go unanswered? Has anybody ever prayed prayers and it just seemed like God didn't answer them? No, I know this morning every prayer God answers. I understand that. Every prayer He does answer. You ready for this? He either answers with a yes, He either answers with a no, or He answers it not right now. But mark it down, every prayer God answers. But you know what I have found in my walk with God? That there have been times that my prayers have gone unanswered. That doesn't mean He didn't answer them, but you ready for this? That means He didn't answer them the way I wanted Him to answer them. There have been some times when I said, God, would you heal them? And God said, no. There's been times where I prayed and I said, God, will you fix it? And God said, no. There's been times I walked through life and I said, God, will you allow me to do that? And God said, no. There's been times and I prayed. And I said, God, why are my prayers seemingly going unanswered? In other words, why are my prayers not being answered the way I want them to be answered? I asked God to heal my mama. Not let her die. But you know what happened? We still had the barrier. I prayed and I've asked God, as a little boy, not to let my mama and daddy get a divorce. You know what I seen happen? I seen him go to court.
And I've seen them get divorced. I've seen loved ones pray for their children that thought to bring them back home and then them OD and die. And I've been to the casket where there's been a weeping mama, where everybody else was touching her on the shoulder and saying everything's going to be all right. But in her life, in her mind, her world's falling apart because she's looking up to heaven and saying, "My God, why did you let him die? God, why did you let him OD? God, why did you let him do this or do that? Why is my child not coming back home? Why is my child staying in a foreign country? Everybody else's child's come home. Everybody else's child's getting saved." I mean, come on now. We see it on Facebook, and we'll see where people praise God and thank God they do. I mean, God answered their prayer. God healed their loved one. I mean, they went to the doctor, and they got that report that there was no cancer for him. And we say, thank God that God answered their prayer. But some of you had to go and say it's not the cancer wasn't found, but unfortunately, cancer was found, and it spread. Y'all get me this morning? And you sit there and you say, "Why my prayers aren't answered? God, you're answering their prayers. Why didn't you answer my prayers the way I want to be answered?" You read the prayer the other, you quoted the verse the other night when he was teaching over there. God, then he said, "This is pray, thank you in my will. Know that I hear you." And we take that verse out of context because this is what we say a lot of times. Every prayer I pray, God hears. That's what that verse says. That verse says, when we pray according to his will, he hears us.
That's right.
Don't forget, I hate to say it like this, but it's just reality. My little prayer I pray for God to answer my ways, his will. Because it's not his will. I've been in this thing long enough to know there's been some valleys I've had to walk through that was his will. And there were some mountaintops in my life that was not his will. So, "Lord, I'm going to be up there." He said, "No, it's not my will right now. Lord, I don't want to be right here. That's my will right now." You see, we ask the question, is God really there when our prayers go unanswered? I thought about this. We ask, God, are you there when not only when our prayers go unanswered, but we ask, God, are you there when his plan is untraceable? God, I don't see you in this. How in the world can you say you're working all things together for our good, and you say that everything's going according to plan, and we know you're on the throne, but my goodness, Lord, you got a weird way of showing it, because I'll be honest, I just don't see you in this. Does anybody ever say, "God, if you're in this, I just don't see how"? Y'all hear me this morning? I know this is where the rubber meets the road. And I know this ain't what the health, wealth, and prosperity crowd's preaching is in this day. And they say that if you're in the will of God, it's going to be a walk in the park. But Job said this, "Man that is born of a woman, he was evil, he's full of trouble." And I'm going to hear me well. If you serve the Lord Jesus, there's going to be some days in your life. Listen, friend, when you're going to look up and say, "God, I just don't know if this is your plan. I just can't see your hand at work in my life." Oh, Jeremiah said this about the Lord. He said, "Lord, you deceived me. Oh, Lord, you've done me wrong." Somewhere I said, he said, "I've been out here preaching God faithfully. But you left me." And this is what Jeremiah said, "I'm not preaching about you anymore. He's not even going to talk about you. You have done me wrong. Oh, you're playing ghosts." And Jeremiah, you can throw stones at Jeremiah if you want to. But do you realize Jeremiah's son is a weeping prophet? He preached for all those years, and he never saw Israel turn to God. He never saw one person get saved. He never saw one person come back home and get their heart right with God. Before you throw stones at Jeremiah, you can sat where he sat and realize that Jeremiah's looking up to heaven and said, "God, you've done me wrong." You ever been there?
Yeah.
You ever sat by a bedside with that loved one? He said, "God, if you're in this, you've got a weird way of showing." I wish I could get up here this morning and tell you some little sweet story and everything would be good. I don't know if y'all watch much news, and if you don't, I congratulate you. And I'll be honest with you, I talked to somebody across the table this week, and this is what they said. They said, "I'll be honest, I scratch my head when I hear about that little 7-year-old girl. That I'm talking about. That was brutally murdered by a FedEx driver." And we said, "There's not it all there. Maybe your street was spiritual and you got it all together and you don't ever, ever ask those kind of questions. Well, pray for me. Because I've been on with you guys. Don't Jim Hoxville walk down the aisles of those hallways and see those little bitty kids. The only thing they really ever done was stolen a cookie out of a cookie jar. But their bodies ate up with cancer.
That's right.
and say, God, are you in this? Where are you at, God? Mary and Martha sitting around the bedside of Lazarus, and they're asking questions because the question is true, God. You're not here. In reality, God was, he wasn't there. Thought about when prayers go unanswered. I thought about when plans are untraceable. Thought about this when his power is unseen. Everybody ever gone through a period in your life where you didn't see the hand of God working in your life? Let me let y'all in on a little secret. I'm just being bare in my heart this morning. There's been times where I've been here. And I said, God, y'all pray for me. This is where you want me at. Why ain't I see you working? Maybe you got it all together. Pray for me. Just being honest. I say honesty is the best cure. Well, I'm being too honest. I don't know. But I've sat in places and I pastored my first church for 2 years and I sat there some years and the eyes came on. And I said, God, are you in here? Because I just don't see your hand at work in my life. God, are you still working? Are you still saving? Are you still doing? Because I just don't see it. There's been times where I prayed and the heavens were brass and I seemed like my prayers didn't get above the ceiling and I prayed and prayed and prayed and just seemed like my prayers just keep falling upon deaf ears. Been times where I preached and preached and preached and preached and saw no results. You realize I was here 3 years, to my knowledge, that unless somebody didn't say anything about it, I was here 3 years for as long as I could say. I don't know about y'all, but maybe that didn't serve y'all, but there's some days I would have been very discouraged. Right. There's been days for me, I drove home, and everybody said, what's wrong with me? And I said, I poured my heart out this morning, nobody got saved. I don't know about y'all, but when that happens, I don't believe happy. I'm sorry, maybe y'all can, maybe, but I don't believe happy. Right. When somebody tells Jesus no, I don't leave happy. When somebody turns him away, I don't leave happy. When somebody walks out, walks him away, I don't leave happy. My heart's troubled. There's been times where I said, God, your power is unseen. Your plan is untraceable. Your power is unseen. My prayers are going unanswered. How about this one? Seems like his promises are not fulfilled. I know it. I say it. Promises, promises, all of them true. Our Lord Jesus has done exactly what He said He would do. But the emphasis on that is what He said He would do. You know what I have found? He ain't always done what I wanted Him to do.
That's right. Amen.
They said, that songwriter said it, said, He never promised that I would go through life without any problems. He never promised that we never would go by a casket and see our loved one to be healed on this side. He never promised, He never promised, He never promised. I'm glad the songwriter knew enough about the Lord to say that He did promise that He'd go with me all the way.
Right.
But there's been some times where I've been honest. His prayers unanswered. I'm putting myself in Mary and Martha's shoes. Prayers are unanswered, plans untraceable, powers unseen, promises are unfulfilled, His presence is unfelt. You want to know why His presence is unfelt? Because He ain't there. See, He lives within us, He never leave us nor forsake us. I get it, I get it, I get it, I get it. But that don't stop there being times when He's silent. And though He never will leave us, there is times in our life where He's not working or noticeably as He has in other times. Y'all have all heard the little saying, the teacher's always silent, what? During the test. See, really, it wouldn't be hard serving Jesus if every time we prayed, our prayers got answered right away like the woman said. Being on the mountaintop every single day of your life, wouldn't that be something? I mean, feel His presence everywhere you go. Wow. But
There's been some times where the Lord, are you here? Where are you at? Where? But you know what Jesus goes on to say? This is what he says. I'm glad in your sakes that I was not there. How in the world could God be glad that he was not there? Well, and I'd say this, the same reason why he's glad in those times in our life, when I notice how I say this, when it feels like he ain't there. How? Well, look what Jesus says to him. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you what? That you may believe. You know the reason why Jesus is allowing all this to happen? Do you know the reason why Jesus hadn't got there yet? Do you know the reason why Jesus isn't there? You ready for this? I hope you are, because I'm going to give it to you. You ready for this? Because if they didn't go, my goodness, if they didn't ever go through the time when he wasn't there, they would not be able to really enjoy the time when he was there. Are y'all kidding me? If they didn't know what it was like to go through those valleys when he wasn't there, and it seemed like the heavens were vast, they wouldn't fully enjoy the time when he was there. You see, in the text, they're having to face grief, they're having to face sorrow, they're having to face burdens. But I got good news, he ain't got there yet. Come on now, he ain't got there yet. And can I say to you in your life that this is not the end of your story? It may look like he ain't there, but I've got good news. You just stay faithful, because in just a few short verses, he's going to let you know he's there. Y'all with me? You know the reason why Jesus didn't get there when they thought he ought to got there? You ready for it? Because he was going to minister to their grief. So what do you mean? You know this morning, just reality, if I'm able to help anybody, hope I'm able to help somebody this morning. Maybe this is just for me, I don't know. But if I am able to help anybody with the help of the Holy Ghost, you want to know the reason why? Because I've been where you've been in some situations. You ever had somebody sit beside you and say, I know how you feel. Let her be here the story. A lady had lost her little boy, had walked off into a pool and drowned. It's your story. She was weeping unbearably in the hospital room, and the nursing baby was dead. And she's sitting on a little boy, tears well up. One of the nurses sat down beside her, put an arm around her, and said, "Call me okay? I know how you feel." And this is what she said. I mean, being honest with her, she said, "Have you ever lost a baby?" "No." She said, "How the world do you know how I feel?" She said, "You're exactly right. Hold on just a second." And she went out down the hallway and she got another nurse who didn't go through the same situation, but she knew what it was like to lose a baby. And she walked back in there and she said, "This lady knows exactly what." And that lady sat down right beside her and put her arms around her. And this is what she said: "I know exactly how you feel, because I've been where you've been at before." You see, up to this point, Mary and Martha didn't know about that. Up to this point, Mary and Martha didn't know that Jesus had the ability to raise Lazarus from the dead. Up to this point, Mary and Martha don't know. But when you get to chapter number 12, you know what Mary and Martha's talking about. They ain't talking about what they don't know, but they're saying, "Let me tell you a story. I know what it's like to see my loved one die. I know what it's like for grief to overwhelm us, but I also know what it's like when it seems like all hope is gone." They're sitting somewhere in the shadows. Jesus shows up, and Jesus is able to fix our problems. You never have that story if you never went through those moments in chapter number 11.
That's right.
I understand some of you. I understand some of you. Maybe you didn't go the way you wanted to go. It ain't even like you wanted it in. But I've got good news. It ain't over yet. This ain't the end. This ain't the end. Did you realize this morning that had Jesus not risen Lazarus from the grave, Mary and Martha would have seen him again? Had God not raised Lazarus, Mary and Martha would have seen him again. You know why? Because this ain't the end. This side of the grave ain't the end. There is coming a better day. And you know what? One day, there'll come a day where we'll say, "You know what? My grief is no more. My burdens are no more. My sorrows are no more." Why? Because Jesus knows how to fix the problems in our life. See, Mary and Martha, could you imagine? You know, we talk about the vicious stories.
by man, this one caught this fish, it was this big. Man, this one shot this bug, it was this big. We hear all those stories and all those nice. I like hearing those stories. Hey, let me tell you about what God did for me. They said Lazarus was dead for 4 days. I mean, could you imagine sitting around that campfire? Maybe one of the disciples hearing somebody else not think Jesus really is who he says he is. Really? Let me tell you about what I see. He shows up 4 days later. He's still on time. Because he's a God that knows no time. He ain't controlled by time. When he shows up 4 days late, he's still on time. Because he's the only one that has the ability to be able to do that. We're always sitting around thinking there's no hope. By this time, he's stinking. And then you might be there this morning. Your problem in your life may be stinking real bad this morning. And all hope that you should be saved is taken away. But I've got good news. When Jesus shows up and Jesus walks up to the tomb of Lazarus, may they look over and say, you ain't going to believe what we're about to tell you. But he was dead. He was bound up. He was stinking. But Jesus walked up to the grave in just a split moment of time. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what happened? That old dead man who had been dead for 4 days, you know what happened? He got up and he started walking out. We don't understand how he walked out. He was bound hand and foot. He couldn't put one foot from the other because he was bound. You know what I believe happened out there? I believe he floated out. I mean, he's bound. Nobody went in there and got him out. He's bound. And Jesus is going to say, loose him. And let him go. He's bound. He's wrapped up like a mummy. But he come up out of that grave. You say why? Because when Jesus says come, you better believe it. My goodness, it don't matter how deep they buried your loved ones in the grave. It don't matter if they're 6 feet under. One day when Jesus sounds that trumpet and the dead in Christ are going to rise, I got good news. Up from the grave they're going to rise and we're going to leave this old world. A sin and sorrow. Grief may enlarge medicine. Weeping may endure for the night. But good news, joy is still going to come in the morning. But you know what? Had they not been there, they never would have had that story. I'll be honest with you. I've sat in pages with some of them. I've listened to your stories. Didn't go the way you wanted to go? Oh, no, no, no. I see on the side of the other side of that table. I see the tears roll down faces. But I always say what I'm going to say like this. If you go, really, they lay down what they said. If you go the way we wanted to, but God's still good. It didn't get like we wanted it to. But God's still good. And by you still being here, it lets me know. And I hope and pray for the Lord, I don't ever have to go through those storms like you've gone through them. But if I ever do, I can look back at your stories and say, just like God brought you through, He'll bring me through.
Amen, bro.
You realize what kind of story Mary and Martha must have had? I mean, Lazarus. I mean, Lazarus, all he knows is dead. All of a sudden, 4 days later, he wakes up. Imagine how he felt about it. All thing I know, I mean, I'm dead. I was that dead. Maybe went off into paradise and the Lord called him back. I don't know what all happened in that time here. But man, he knows he had a story. But he never would have had that had he not gone through it. Do you know what else Jesus says? He said the grief could be ministered to. He wasn't there so the grace could be ministered. He wasn't there so grace could be manifested. Do you know what happens because of this miracle? Many of the Jews believe. Many of the Jews believed on him. You ready for this? The reason sometimes why Jesus leaves you where you're at is not just for you, but for what others can see God do through you.
Amen. Amen.
This ain't all about us. You want me to tell you a little bit of secret? Your storms ain't all about you. But there's people watching. Your life. How in the world can they still have joy when their prayers seemingly go unanswered? How is it they can still walk on when everybody else walks out? Because we know the God that we know. You know the reason why y'all is here this morning? Ready for this? It's because where God brought you to, He brought you through it. Do you want to know something this morning? I have had the experience that some of y'all have in the sense of going to the cemetery and going to the hospital rooms and hearing the reports and all those things. I've been there. I've not experienced that grace yet. But you have. Now, how I know you've experienced it, because it's still here. You know what? Your storm is not just for you, but it's those around you that are watching you. People are watching our lives. You better believe they are. My little boys, they're watching. My little girl, she's watching. She watches how I react. She watches how I respond. She watches how I answer things, how I don't answer back. They're watching. It ain't all about us. There's a whole bigger picture. People are watching our lives. But you know what else? I'm done right here. Brother Jeff, if you come to the piano this morning. You know what Jesus says? He allowed this. He wasn't there. And He says, for your sakes, I'm glad. Because He knows. Jesus knows. See, they're upset because they only can see right then.
Yeah, right.
They're only reading the story that's in front of them.
Yeah, right.
But you know how Jesus could be glad? Jesus was glad, not because necessarily what they were going through in that sense, but He knew how the story was going to end. See, Jesus knows how this thing started. Jesus knows how this thing's going. Good news, He knows how this thing's going to end. That's the reason why we've got a book this morning. It tells us how it started. It tells us right where we're at. And it tells us how it's going to end. You want to know why? Because the author was there when it started. The author is here right now. And the author will be right there in the end. He knows how it started. He knows how it's going. And He knows how it's going to end. He's the only author that knows that. I got good news this morning. Thank God He knows in the text. And that's the reason why He can be glad. Because He knows how it's going to end. You can play softly this morning, Brother Jeffrey. Many of the Jews believe. But you know what Jesus said? He said, this end, that I might be glorified. You realize that Jesus... Hear me now. Do you realize Jesus received glory like the death of Lazarus? Do you know that Jesus received glory from Mary and Martha going through what they went through? How? Well, how many people do you know that ever raised anybody from the dead? I'm waiting. I don't know one. He was talking about the reason why I'm asking. You know Jesus showed up to that little boy in the coffin. They were headed to the graveyard. Jesus came to the grave. Here, Jesus was out of the graveyard. He's been dead for 4 days. He calls him from the grave. But you know what I got to tell you about Jesus? We're talking about Jesus is the only one that called anybody from the grave 4 days. I don't know the first time. 4 days, He's called from the grave and comes home. But you know what the best Jesus did that nobody else has been able to do? See, at that point, Lazarus got up because somebody called him. That little lad got up because somebody called him. Jesus one day got up and nobody called him. Jesus was the only one to die by his own power. He resurrected himself from the grave. You say, what are you saying? You know the reason why Jesus was his neighbor? So that he might receive the glory. I got good news this morning. Jesus is going to give glory from your situation. Now, how? It ain't over with yet. When we get to heaven, we see all those loved ones. If they didn't see the other way with them, and we know that when we see them on this side, there's never going to be another goodbye. There's never going to be another disappointment. There's never going to be another sorrow. There's never going to be another funeral. There's never going to be another heartache. There's never going to be another back report. There's never going to be any of that. You know what we're going to do? We're going to look at one and say, because of you, all this is possible. So who's going to get glory on that day? Jesus. For all eternity, there's going to be glory. Jesus. You know what we're talking about in this text? We're talking about the very end. We're not talking about what Martha did. We're talking about what Lazarus did. They're all sitting around the table. Martha's a servant. Mary's a worshiper. Lazarus is sitting there fellowshipping with Jesus. Why? Well, Jesus got the glory. Listen to this morning. Jesus will get the glory. He ain't here right family. And I got good news. A few short days, they walked down that day. So walk to the grave and lashes. You may not be where you're at right now. But you felt, hold on. Your story ain't over. Everybody standing this morning, these altars are open. Jeffrey's going to play Mind the Lord this morning.